The gospel today follows directly on from where we were last week. Remember, we were there in the upper room. The disciples were full of grief, they were petrified. They were just so overwhelmed by the possibility that the terrible things that had happened to Jesus could well happen to them. And Jesus came, stood among them, "Shalom, peace be with you." And he showed them his hands and his side. And then he breathes on them because they need the breath of the Spirit. They need that life. They need that possibility that their current experience of fear and dread and horror will not be the end of the story. And then he commissions them to go, to be bearers of this message of forgiveness, to be people who live in mercy, who love in mercy, who share that mercy. And then today the gospel begins at the beginning of chapter 21. For some reason the lectionary cuts out the first two words, which in the Jerusalem simply says, "after this." In the Greek, it's meta tauta. I don't know why I want to say that in an Italian accent, but meta tauta. And it's this very vague kind of description about meta after these things, after this time. John, of all the four Gospels, John is the most likely to be very specific when it comes to time. He will always say, the next day this happened, 3 days later this thing happened, a week later, 8 days later. He gives us constantly these timestamps throughout the Gospels. This is the only time he goes, meta tauta, just after these things. And he tells us it was the third time. So he's getting specific about the when it, these things happened, but not the time frame. So we don't know how long it was after the eighth day when these things happened. And what else might have happened along the way? Elsewhere in Scripture, they say that Jesus met many times during these 40 days when he was still with the disciples. He taught them, he instructed them, he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. So perhaps there were other occasions. But it still seems kind of odd that after this incredibly transformative encounter with Jesus, when he breathes on them, when he gives them this gift of peace, when he transforms them, when he forgives them, when he offers them this chance to go and be bearers of this message of mercy, what's the best that Peter can come up with? "I'm going fishing." What does fishing represent? It's not fishing for souls. It's not fishing to make disciples. Fishing is, I guess, just a place of safety. It's a thing that he knows well. And we know that a number of the other disciples also know well. It's just a place where they can feel at home, a place to be comfortable. But it's also a place of avoidance. It's doing the one thing that Jesus told them, or not doing the one thing that Jesus told them to do, to go and to share this message with others. And so it's this recognition that they're really saying, we want to get away from all of this. We want to just go and do this one thing. But instead, what do they find? They're there all night long, and what do they catch? Nothing. Zilch. Nada. They're just this situation of emptiness. Nothing at all. And you can imagine the frustration that they're feeling there on this little boat as they're just caught up in that experience. But then the night slowly gives way to dawn, and you see the first hint of the light there on the eastern shore of the lake. And there's this first kind of sense of hope that maybe this won't be the end of the story. And then there's this little silhouette of this person there, 100 meters or so off on the shore. And they're not quite sure, you know, who it is. They're not able to see it in that faint light. But then this stranger on the shore calls out, "Have you caught anything yet, my friends?" And no, we haven't. We haven't. There's all that sense of the loss and the grief that they were feeling the week before or whenever it was. They're also caught up in this same experience of emptiness. Because that's what life is without God. Without that hope and without that joy, all that we know, all that we experience is just the nada, the emptiness, the nothingness of our experiences. Well, how about you throw out the net on the other side? Throw it out on the starboard, the right-hand side of the boat. And they're like, "Yeah, whatever. It's dawn now. There's no fish in the day. You only get fish at night. But okay, we'll chuck the net in." And then suddenly there's this movement, and suddenly there's a pull on the nets, and suddenly the boat begins to rock because there's so much movement and so many fish are now making their way into the net, and they're just overwhelmed. And the one that Jesus loves, the one that has been there at the very heart of this experience, he's the first with the eyes of love to see that the stranger on the shore is none other than the Lord. And so he points it out to Peter, this disciple who's lost it all, this disciple who's still lost that hope. Because Peter was so full of bravado. He thought that he could do it all. He thought that he would be the one that would stand by Jesus. When they were in the garden and the soldiers came, Peter was the one who whipped out his sword and attacked one of the servants. He thought that he could do this. But once the number of soldiers grew too great, he was the first to run away with all the other disciples. And even though he said that, "No, I will never deny you. I will always stand by you. I will always be your faithful disciples," just as I've heard that words uttered in my own heart so many times, that I will be faithful to you, God. I will be the one that will always be there for you. And I know that experience of Peter. I know that reality in my own life. I know that horror of denying the Lord. I know that moment when, like Peter, I said, "No, I don't even know him. I'm not from Galilee. You've got the wrong man. I'm not the one you're looking for." But today, Peter is not going to miss his chance. Even though he's stripped for work, the NRSV says he's naked. He wraps a cloak around him and jumps into the water, which is just a strange kind of thing to do, to put clothes on when you're jumping into the water. But he has to go. He has to make it to the shore because he's not going to miss this chance. He wants to find the life that he so desperately needs. And so he makes his way there to the shore and encounters there the Lord, who's already caught some fish. He's already cooking the bread, cooking the fish on the charcoal fire, and the smell of that, that kind of memory, that olfactory sense would have been so strong that Peter and the other disciples would have remembered that smell for the rest of their lives. That moment when all of their hopes were fulfilled, all of their desires, all of that longing. But Peter especially. Peter needed not just to see and to hear those words. He needed that chance to redeem himself, that chance to express his love for Jesus, just as we do. Just as when we fail and when we get it wrong and when we stuff it up yet again, we need that opportunity to let Jesus ask us and commission us to feed his lambs, to feed his sheep. The gospel message is all about this transformation. It's all about this sense of profound hope. It's all about that truth that no matter how many times we've got it wrong, no matter how many times in our bravado we've said, "Yes, we will get it right this time," and we stuff it up once more, that we get a chance yet again to offer our repentance. We get the chance yet again to receive that profound mercy of God. We get a chance again to be fed and nourished by him. We get that chance again to have our whole worldview transformed in the light of the rising sun. This Easter season, we can experience this amazing transformation, this joy that changes everything. All that we thought we once knew can be changed in that moment of simply encountering the living God. Let's not let the chance pass us by. Let's grab that moment and allow the one who has loved us to call us back into life and to allow us to hear that forgiveness, to hear that mercy, and to receive the new life, but also to hear that final call, "Follow me," to be caught up in that friendship, that discipleship that only God can offer to us.